I want to look at a verse with you. I'm going to read it to you, but first, if you want to follow along, you can look it up. It's in Nehemiah 8, verse 8 to 12. Okay, here we go. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the high priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping and listening to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy good choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to you, to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went to eat and drink and send portions of food to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. These are people who hadn't heard from the scriptures in a long, long time, and so finally somebody was able to share with them something from the scriptures. In our pews here we have Bibles. Probably haven't been touched in a long time because people bring their own Bible or they bring their own device and they can read their Bible all the time. We have access to Bibles. In Cambodia, they also have access to Bibles by the same ways. But in this one here, the people had longed to hear, longed to have that big scroll opened up. And finally, Nehemiah and his high priest explain this all to them, and they're very, very happy. They're filled with much joy. I'm filled with much joy because I get to come back here. I was telling Pastor Ron 2 years ago, Pastor Ron actually wasn't able to come, wasn't able to be here, and things worked out very nicely because he had to be someplace else. He needed somebody to fill the pulpit. I said, "I'd like to go there." He said, "Oh, okay, I'll send some, I can do that, that would be good." I said, "But the thing is, I don't have any way to get to the church, I don't have anywhere to stay." He said, "I've got a guy, he'll come and pick you up," blah, blah. That's how I met Glenn and we met Carol, and it was a nice relationship was started off there. It was so fun, so joyous that I wanted to do it again. So I said, "Pastor Ron, can we do it exactly the same way as last time?" I forgot that last time we arrived a day before. So somehow I got things a little bit mixed up because we arrived, like I said, this morning at 2 a.m. And now here I am only a few hours later, and I'm having to keep myself awake. Look, no toothpicks in the eyes, though. But I'm very, very grateful. It's a pleasure for me to be back in Richmond. Richmond, I don't know if you know this, because not everybody knows what you use your finances for, but a lot of our dorm rental has been paid by your church. And so we're very, very grateful to you, because our dorm rent is the biggest, our biggest expense, and because of that, like I shared this morning in Sunday school, we have been able to reach or have impact in 102 young people's life in Cambodia. That sometimes, when I think about that, I'm like, I can't believe that we've had that opportunity to be able to do that. Like, I think about a pastor or somebody who's a youth pastor who might work in a church and he has maybe 15 youth or something like that, and he works with those 15 youth for many, many years, and all he's only able to touch 15 lives, and he maybe does a really good job, but the thing is that I'm excited that we've been able to reach already 102 people. And like I said, it's your church is helping very much with that. So greetings from our dorm, what we call the Student Residence and Discipleship Center. Thank you for those of you who pray for the Student Residence and Discipling Center. Now, one of the things that I have to tell you is that this is our last It's not our last home assignment, because we will do one more home assignment, but after this home assignment, we only have one more tour left. We'll go back to Cambodia for another 20 months. After that, we come back to Canada, and we will tour until December, and that will be the end of our career. So I'm on my last leg. But people know me, and they know that I can always come, like I'm always going to be drawn back to Cambodia, to back to Asia, so they know that Patty and I will be going back and forth, as the years go by. Because I haven't been in Canada long enough, my pension is at risk if I don't spend a little bit more time each year in Cambodia than outside, each year I have to spend more time in Canada than outside of Canada. So I will be doing that, something like 6 months in a day in Canada and then going back overseas. One of the things that gives us great joy is, like Patty said, Iverson. You saw my son-in-law is kind of a tallish guy. He plays basketball. He has another son. His other son's name is Nash, as in Steve Nash. Now, if you're basketball people, maybe you know about who Iverson is. Iverson is another basketball player. Iverson the Answer. So when they were choosing a name, they said, we have to choose a last name, but it works as a first name. So I gave them a whole pile of names that work really well. Iverson was not on my list. But they chose Iverson. And so now it's Iverson. He's a cool kid. But he's a source of much joy. I'm very excited to go and see him. You know, we talk a lot about joy. I was impressed. The songs that we sang this morning, joy, joy, joy. Several times the word joy is used in the songs that we chose. And the thing is that the bulletin was written, all the planning was made, and then I upset the fruit basket in the pastor's office and said, I could preach. And he said, okay, let's do it. Throw the bulletin to the wind. But you guys sang, and good job. Joy is a good word because it's one of the words that we use a lot in advertising. I don't know if you know this, because I've been drawn to taking pictures of the word in advertising. Joy, I've got pictures of joy being used for coffee, joy hotel, joy spa, joy travel agent. Bring some joy to your house. Krispy Kreme used to say that. There was joy wine, of course, joy dish soap, joy ice cream, joy school, and there's a joy magazine. Those are just a few things, but joy is a central topic that we like to use in English because joy is something, well, it's happiness, right? It's things that make us feel glad. So it's a natural occurring thing. We can buy things that give us joy. We can do things that bring us joy. If you're like a person who likes nature, you can go for a nice walk and you can go and see what things that God has made that gives you joy. It's a natural thing that we search for in our life. I was showing somebody a picture of something that Cambodians like that brings them joy is driving around in really fancy cars. Now, I don't mean like a really nice Prius. Well, I don't even know how to say the thing. We have lots of them in Cambodia as well. But those guys have ultra tons of money, so they've got to buy the latest Bugatti. They've got to buy the latest, oh my goodness, the prices of vehicles there. There's also 100% duty on top of it, so whatever a car costs, $1.5 million is now a $3 million car. And we have them. They drive around in these things. And big Rolls Royces, because they bring somebody some joy. Now, one of the things that brings me joy is to go and have a coffee. Somehow or other, Starbucks ends up being a cheap coffee place in Cambodia. Why is it cheap? Because they like to show off how rich they are by drinking a $5 or $6 coffee. And I order the coffee of the day that nobody drinks. So I ask for a small one, but I give them my mug, and my mug is a venti. So they fill it up because they think, nobody's going to drink the rest of this. Let's give them the whole mug. Maybe that's a little Mennonite joke. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't know what brings you joy. In Cambodia, they just finished the New Year's celebration. New Year's in Cambodia is on the 15th of April. It's not even on the beginning of a month. It's not even on the first month of something or other. It's like the rando months. And then they want to celebrate a week before and a week after. So you're going to end up with 2 weeks of holidays in the middle of April. Everybody goes back home. They meet with their families. They have parties. It's a great time. It's a source of much joy with them. In 2 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk to you face to face, that our joy may be complete. And that's why we tour missionaries. When we come back to Canada, we don't just sit at home. We don't do the old thing that they used to call a furlough, where you'd say, I got a whole year off. Even if they said that's what we did, I know we didn't, because I remember my dad being gone a lot. Because he went and told people about what he was doing. And let his joy be complete by going face to face with people. Maybe another thing that might bring you joy is a new member to your family. Like I've been saying about Iverson, that brings me much joy. John 16:21 says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish, and because of her joy that the child is born into this world. I know you know that verse. Maybe a source of your joy is leading someone to the Lord, or hearing that one of your family has come to the Lord. Now, we prayed about that. We talked about people who have members of their family who are not yet believers. That is a hard thing to deal with, a hard thing to live with. But imagine the joy if that person changes their mind. Luke 15:7 says that, I tell you in the same way, there will be much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So there's a party going on in heaven. Every time somebody accepts Jesus, every time somebody agrees that Jesus has paid the penalty, when they take the ticket, it's become sort of a catch line with me. I say, I want you to take the ticket. You can't go to the club. You can't go to a concert. You can't go to a movie unless you have a ticket. Somebody's going to be saying, let me see your ticket. And Jesus has paid for that ticket. And all you have to do is take the ticket from Jesus. Say, thank you. Thank you for paying for that for me. Now I can go to heaven. Now I can have joy abundant. At our dorm, we had a guy. We had a bunch of students, and most of them were Christians, and we said, okay, let's take some kids that are not Christians. So they come to stay in our dorm, and at our dorm, they have to listen to us teach them 4 days a week for an hour and a half. And they'll do that because they need a place to stay. Then they can go to do their schooling the rest of the time at the university, and it's really close to the university. They love it. We had a guy come to our dorm. His name was Chree, C-H-R-E with a mark, Y. Chree. And Chree had never heard the name Jesus. He didn't know what that meant. In Cambodia, the name Jesus is Yesu. Ye means grandmother, so this was like grandmother Sue. So, I mean, it meant nothing to him. He didn't know what that was. But he came to stay at the dorm, and he started listening, and he heard about Jesus. But he also saw other people who were Christians, and he had to go to church. We make them go to church, or we don't. We don't make them, it's just in the contract. So if they don't go, then they get the boot. But we've never had to throw anybody out. They were happy to go to church. because they get to learn about what this Christian church is like. You know what? We just did something here that Cambodians can't understand. Christians understand this. But other people who are peeking over the fence and looking into the church, they're like, look at those Christians, they're having some sort of a party. What a bunch of cheapskates. One tiny little drink and one tiny little cookie. Oh, okay, we're sort of celebrating something, but it's not that kind of a party. When we party hard, right? But we get to teach them that. They get to see this. They don't know. Just like you don't know what all happens in a Buddhist temple, in the pagoda. You don't know exactly what happens in there. You don't know what happens in the mosque. You don't know what happens in the Sikh temple. Why should you? All right? So they don't know what we're doing. So it's nice that they can go to church and they can see. Jiri was impressed. Jiri said, look at these people. They all get along. They're like, they love each other, but it's not like a weird kind of love each other thing. This is like they care for each other. And after a couple of months, he said, I got to have some of that. I need that. I need that in my life. And so he prayed with us. He took the ticket. And then he began to grow. And it was such an exciting time to watch him grow. We have a scale where we look and see where people are. When they come into the dorm, we say they're on the Engel scale. They're like a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever. He was a 1, a 0 maybe. Like didn't know anything about Jesus. And he went all the way up to number 10 where he believed in Jesus. And then he went to 11 where he learns more about Jesus. And he went to 12 where he helps teach people about Jesus. And all the way up he went. We made him our dorm leader. A guy who had never heard the name Jesus. But he progressed all the way up to that. And that was exciting. That brought me much joy. You know, another thing, it's funny because the Lord tends to do this to me. Oh, I forgot to say that in Cambodia, back to Chiri, I'm sorry. In Cambodia, it's difficult for a Cambodian to become a Christian because they believe that being a Cambodian means they're Buddhist. It's linked to their nationality. At the top of the letterhead of any kind of organization, any kind of important document, it says, Nation, Religion, King. Because those are the three things that belong to every Cambodian. But the religion is in there, so when you get your nationality card, I'm pretty sure that it's the macro just says, Religion, Buddhist. I don't know if my wife's card says what it says on it. Maybe it says Buddhist. So for this reason, it's a little bit difficult for a Cambodian to become a Christian. But when a Cambodian becomes a Christian, then they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And some of the fruits, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, mercy, etc. These are situations that we would experience joy because it is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we might experience that, and we might show evidence of that in our regular daily life because things bring you joy. Speaking of things that might bring you joy, if you hadn't noticed, we brought a box of mangoes. You help yourself to a mango, that will bring you much joy. It brings us much joy to bring it to you. But there's a situation where we think about the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, and we think to ourselves, the fruit of the Spirit are all fairly even, they're regular things. Love. A non-Christian could be in love or have love or show love. Joy, peace, long-suffering. It could happen. But the thing that makes these gifts or these fruit of the Holy Spirit is that almost all of them have this area in the middle. When there is trouble, then we can have these fruit. And maybe the fruit seems like it shouldn't be shown. One example, okay, let's just think about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are in Philippi. They go to Philippi. There's a girl who's wandering around who keeps telling the truth, actually, strangely, that comes from a spirit that speaks truth. But she says, these people are from Jesus. They believe in God. They're like this. And it's disrupting their message to the point where Paul all of a sudden just pulls out the big gun and says, in Jesus' name, get out of her. And the spirit leaves her. Now it's a big problem for those people who were using her to use her spirit to tell futures. So now they're mad, and they go and tell the magistrates, please arrest these guys. They're causing a big ruckus in the town. The magistrates arrest them. They haven't really done anything wrong. They arrest them, and they have them beaten. In the old days, it wasn't just like bad. They actually took sticks or whips and stuff and beat them. So they were probably all like bashed up, blue-eyed, maybe bloodied. And then they put them in the jail, in the stocks. Now their feet or their arms, I don't know which one. I'll ask him later. They're locked up. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, these guys didn't do anything wrong. They got beat up, and now they're in jail. You'd think that they'd be like down there thinking, a pox on this city, Philippi, I hope you all die. Something, I don't know. That seems to be what the natural expression would be. But no, this is fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit that was in Paul, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God that is in all of us believers, we have this Spirit, we have this ability to do something that's very weird with our fruit. So what do Paul and Silas do while they're in jail? Acts 16, 22 to 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns and praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I don't think that listening to them is enough. I think the prisoners who were down there were also like, what in the world is going on with these guys? Other prisoners probably killed somebody or robbed somebody or did something else, and they deserve to be there. But no, they're like, what are these guys doing? They're singing. They're full of joy somehow. What in the world is with these dudes? And this could only happen because they have special characteristics. The joy that is granted by the Holy Spirit. The evidence that they are controlled by a higher power. You know, there's a Bible verse that people often use when they want to talk about don't drink alcoholic beverages, because the Bible says don't be, it says what, beware of wine, or don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the idea in that thing is that you want the Holy Spirit to be whatever controls you, in the same way that alcohol might control somebody else. So in this situation, you have two guys that should be controlled with rage and whatnot, but they're controlled by something else. This is evidence of the Holy Spirit in them. And interestingly enough, when Paul writes to Philippi, and we read this in Philippians 4:7, he makes a comment about, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. This is the peace that nobody can understand. Why should you have this kind of peace? Same with joy. Why should you have this kind of joy? Same with love. Why should you have this kind of love? Why should you, in our dorm, in the Student Residence and Discipling Center, we have people from 5 different groups, people groups in Cambodia. The people groups don't often mingle. They don't often get along together. But in our dorm, they do. We have Gui tribes people getting along with Jirai tribes people, getting along with Benong tribes people, getting along with the Mbuan tribes people. They're not supposed to get along. And I'm thinking in one of these days, we're going to have a Vietnamese guy in our dorm, and that will be very strange because Cambodians have always hated the Vietnamese. And imagine if they were in the same dorm and they loved each other, what sort of a testimony that would be to people around who would say, they got a Vietnamese girl in there with the other, with the Binh tribes girl or with the Jirai tribes girl. It would be very weird. Maybe that will happen in the next 20 months. You know, when we think about like our situations in our life, I was thinking in my mom wrote a book, you guys have it out there, it's called Journey to Joy. She tells a story about when a rocket or a bomb or some kind of thing, I think it was a howitzer shell probably. We were all home from school. Our whole family was together, all six of us were in the house. All of a sudden we hear this big loud boom, I mean a really big boom. 150 millimeter howitzer shell lands somewhere in the market. We all run to the front gate. We have a big stone fence here, we have a metal gate that opens up. We all run to the gate, we pause there and look. Ooh, what's going on? And we see people running in every direction. And all of a sudden, this horrendously loud noise happens, and there's like a big psst, like it's white, whoosh, like that. And then all of a sudden, coconut branches are falling on our head, and glass behind us is breaking. And we realize that another shell has landed very, very close to us. And so my sister and my mom and my two brothers go screaming into the house. And my dad and I lock up the gate, take the bikes, take them around back. And we go inside and we realize that the war in Cambodia came very, very close to us. This is in 1975 or 74. And we sang. Our family always sang. I don't know if some of you remember. Oh boy, I don't think anybody would remember us that far ago. But we used to sing as a young family. My dad made us sing. And we would sing in churches and things like that. But it was like, why were we so at peace? Why were we so joyful? When we were right in the middle of a war. I mean, people died. I have pictures. I can't show them to you. They're terrible. But I mean, I took pictures of the dead people. And somebody was standing at the gate near us, I suppose. Nobody that we knew, but he was hit in the rear. And so he laid down and he was bleeding on our driveway. And when the Cambodian people from the church came, a man named Saul that my dad had been mentoring. Saul came to the house with his two brothers, and they went up and they said, oh no, look, there's blood. The pastor must have been hit. So they come running in and they're like, are you okay, pastor? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Pastor Saul, now we call him that, is the pastor at the Noptuk Church where Patty and I work. And we find out that the lady who's in charge of women's ministries at our church was in Phnom Penh City as a young lady, and that her father had actually gone to the fish market, was walking across the street one day, and a big boom had happened, and so he ran to the closest wall where he could stand to be out of the line of fire, and poof, something happened right close to him, and he was hit in the rear end. This is the same guy. I can't believe how this works in the world, that the guy that got hit it by random choice happens to be a guy who's the father of the lady who's in the same church as us now. There's 2 million people in Phnom Penh City. What are the chances? Well, 1 in 2 million, I guess, is the chances. But the fact that we were peaceful about the whole thing is the thing that I want you to take away from that. My parents stayed. Holding a Canadian passport in a country that's at war, where shells are landing on the other side of the street from them, and they didn't use their passport to leave that country. They stayed until they were told, you have to get out. And even then my dad said, I can't, I really don't want to go. And when I talk to Pastor Saul, he always cries. I remember when your dad left, he says, he didn't want to go. He was ready to stay. That's not normal. That's not normal. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider it joy when you have trials. Now, sometimes I'm thinking about James, and I think, James, you went a little too far out on that branch. But it's true. We can consider it joy. Several reasons why we consider it joy. We consider it joy because it builds endurance, like James said. But also we can consider it joy because we know that God is in control, but God is allowing us to go that far. God trusts us to be in a difficult situation. He's going to allow us to get through it. He's got a good plan for us. He doesn't have a bad plan for us. His plan's always good. So he has a good plan for us, and he just trusts us. I'm going to put you in a really difficult situation. Count on me. I'll get you through it. And we can be a little bit proud, or we can be joyful at least, that God had the trust in us to be able to do that. Like I read in the beginning, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's in Nehemiah 8:10, a good one. Kids sing it. The kids in Cambodia sing it. The kids in here in Canada probably sing it. Maybe even the same song. Maybe they even do similar hand gestures. I'm not sure. It's always fun for me to watch the kids in Cambodia doing the hand gestures. You know, they don't know exactly what they're supposed to do, so it might be like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not sure why that's that. Why not like this? I don't know. But we're able to endure problems that come. And if we do endure the problems, then at the end, we'll have great joy. Because we'll know that we got through it. And that brings other kind of joy. So I've been sort of thinking about the way that this sermon works out. It's sort of like joy, regular joy without any trouble, joy when you have troubles, and then joy when you're done with your troubles. In Esther, the Jews wanted another celebration. They wanted to celebrate Purim, I think. I didn't put it in my notes. Purim, I think, is what they wanted to celebrate. Been having lots of things when they were in exile, and they wanted to remember some of the good days, some of the good things that they'd done in the past, and then Esther goes and tells the king that she figures that it was a good idea if they could have the celebration. And so they do. They have a joyous celebration. They've had all this trouble, all these difficulties as they are in their other land. And then they're allowed to do their celebration, and it causes them great joy. The other thing that King David, when he was writing Psalm 16, he wrote, "You make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David had this idea that he was going to be going to heaven, and in heaven he would have joy, and there would be much joy. And we can see that occurring many times in the Psalms, and a lot of those Psalms were written by David. And he's thinking about after, when we get to heaven. And I think about like my dad. My dad was born in Osler, Saskatchewan. I think Osler was even colder than Saskatoon. It's just a little flat area in the middle of nowhere. It's north of Warman, south of Rostern, Burr. Hard, hard life. You tell me that he used to drive the truck when he was young. Couldn't sit down because he couldn't reach the pedals that way, so he had to stand, drive their old clunky truck, whatever it was, deliver coal. Then he was called to the ministry, and God told him he was going to go and work in Cambodia, and he had to get out an atlas. An atlas is a big book of maps. Now we just look at Google Maps, you know, where's Cambodia, whatever. He looked it up in the atlas. He's like, wow, okay, it's way over there. I don't know how we get there. 2 months on a ship is how you get there, apparently. They went and they did this, all this grief and trouble and trials. They went to Cambodia and there was a civil war. The Americans dropped some bombs in Cambodia and the Cambodians were mad at white people with big noses. That looks like a Canadian too, so the Canadians were at risk. They had to run away from that. Then they said, no, you can come back. And they said, well, we just sold all of our stuff. Where are we going to get a fridge? Where are we going to get all kinds of stuff like this? Somehow God provided everything for them again. And then there was another thing. Oh, no, now you really have to leave. Okay, and you can't come back. Well, 4 years they've been learning this language and establishing themselves as missionaries. Okay, now we're going to send you to Thailand. Thailand has a province that speaks Cambodian too. You could go there. So they go there. They have to learn Thai, another language. They go to this province that nobody wants to believe in Jesus. My dad worked his head off there. Maybe 2 converts in 4 years. I don't know. Very difficult. Goes back to Cambodia and it's more difficulties, wars, problems. Me, I was the biggest problem. I was a horrible kid. Don't ask this, it's a bad story, but whatever. Just a tough, tough life. And then my dad, even at his early age of 57 years old, he has to go to heaven. Imagine the joy, though, when he gets to heaven. After all of the hardship, he gets to heaven, and it's like, oh, what an exciting place. The Bible has nothing good, nothing but good things to say about heaven. Romans 14, 17, and 18, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. You know, when John saw heaven, in Revelations he talks about heaven and he talks about the walls made out of this and the buildings made out of that and the streets are made out of gold. And I'm wondering, I don't know that he was a a guy that knows about metal. And I don't think he had tools where he could actually go. I mean, it was a vision. Did he go out there and like, sure looks like gold, I bet you it's made out of gold. Or was he just an analogy, perhaps, of something that all our life we chase after, riches, gold, whatever. And heaven is going to be so marvelous, will be so joy-filled that even gold will be like the street. Or it could be gold, I don't know. I'll be surprised, joyfully surprised. So whatever brings you joy in life, whether it's just regular things, a mango, a strawberry, a blueberry muffin, or maybe it's the joy that the Holy Spirit brings you when you get into trouble, when you have pain, and you're somehow able to get over that, and then the joy that comes after that, and the hope that one day we'll be in heaven. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I'll close with this. Be people of joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in other people. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for your world. And in this season, may we see, feel, and share joy as you go out into the wonder of God's creation. Share joy, peace, and hope with those you meet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for joy. Thank you for your Spirit that gives us joy. Even joy that's beyond what we can imagine, even joy in a situation where we should not be joyful normally. Thank you for just being the loving God that you are. Thank you for your grace that we don't deserve, but you lavish on us. Make us people of joy. May we use that to draw people to you, to make Jesus more famous. And I ask it in that name. Amen.